In the contemplative meditation chapter 6 of Contemplative Life, we have a statement that is very important to all of us. It usually doesn't come out just this way, except when there's a meditation. And in this particular meditation, not having any restrictions, the Father speaking within, this is what the Father within said through Joel. God is really my identity. And as you read this, God is really my identity. You're reading about your identity. Now that is our starting point. God is really my identity. And then, as you begin a day, in any other identity, you can expect to find a conflict. Because you cannot move in another identity to your true self and expect the rhythm of God to be functioning in you, as you, through you, doing the Father's work on earth. And so the first step is to release yourself to identity. And in this, you are releasing yourself to the will of God, which is your identity. I release myself then to the will of the Father, knowing the identity of the Father is my own identity. And there can only be then one will expressing. There cannot be a second will, a human will. There can only be one power expressing. There cannot be a second power, a mortal or material power. There can only be one mind expressing. There cannot be a second human mind. We release ourselves to the infinite will of the Father, but never overlooking the truth that I and the Father are one identity. And we reach the point where there is no two-ness. We reach the point of oneness within ourselves. The point of oneness, which is the moment of infinite grace. Now that is where we're resting. Thy will be done. There is no other will here. No other self here. No other identity here than that identity which is God. And in this you discover the awareness of the power of God flowing. This established, you will also discover that the world will almost instantly challenge you upon this. And so you're prepared now, having established identity, to look around at the world and say, the identity I have discovered that is my identity here is the infinite Father who is there, and therefore everywhere I look, I am looking at my invisible identity. There is no place where my identity is not. We're not looking out at a world of divisions and separations and individuals. We are looking out only at our own identity everywhere. We are accepting God is my identity and God is infinite. Therefore, I am infinite being. And the will of the infinite is functioning within itself. Now, there was a time when the disciples said to the Master, "What is the kingdom of heaven like?" And he gave them this interesting phrase. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened." 3 measures of meal. Now let us take those 3 measures and do something with our meditation. We know he referred to mind, soul, and body, which all must become one. But now let us take the 3 measures and apply them to other things. Let us take the will of the Father. And the first measure would be, "Thy will be done." But let us not stop there. Let us have 2 more measures. And the second measure is, "Thy will is being done." And the third measure is, "Whatever is not thy will cannot be done." And so now we're applying the leaven to the will of the Father in our consciousness. "Thy will be done. Thy will is now being done everywhere. And whatever is not thy will cannot be done and cannot be there." We are coming into a oneness of will on an infinite level. And the rejection of all that is happening as an appearance which is not the will of the Father, in the knowledge that it cannot be happening if it is not the Father's will. 3 measures of leaven. Let us take power. God is power. The second measure is, God is power now, and that power is functioning. And the third measure, whatever is not that power cannot function, because the power of God is all there is. Always your 3 measures. The truth, the fullness of the truth, and the rejection of the opposite of the truth as an impossibility. Until you can reach the inner conviction that the power of God is now flowing where you are. The power of God is never turned off. It is always flowing where you are. It being the only power. Any other suggestion of power that appears in your experience, which is not the power of God, is not there but can only seem to be. And if you are accepting identity, then that which is not the power of God cannot be accepted at the same time. Now apply it to your back. You broke your back last winter. You have a broken back and you're recovering, and the recovery is slow. Today we're accepting identity. Yesterday we had a broken back. Today, God is my identity realized. What was my identity yesterday? The same. God yesterday is the same as God today. That which is true of me today is true of me yesterday. If today in God identity there can be no broken back, could there be one in God identity yesterday? And so you must come to that conclusion that in God identity there is no broken back yesterday, today, or tomorrow. It never had happened. except in false identity. The false identity never was the true identity. Where did it happen? And now we're seeing the three measures of leaven apply to the past as well as the present and as well as the future. Can it happen in identity? Is there anything but identity? Is God all? Yes, God is all. Then where can a broken back occur? Only in one who is not in identity. And therefore, where shall you remain in order to benefit by the laws of spirit? In your identity. Where you are now is the full power of God and always will be there. Never will there be less than the full capacity of God. You cannot accept identity without accepting that the full wisdom of the Father is flowing through you. All safety, all protection, all harmony is flowing through the Father. And I and the Father being one identity, all is flowing through me. And nothing but that which is of the Father can be flowing through me. That which comes, which is not of the Father, is not here. It is an appearance, a cosmic hypnotism. It does not belong to me. It has no substance. It has no power. Now your three measures of leaven then will apply to omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience. Always, the knowledge of the truth is followed by the fullness of that knowledge, and finally by the rejection of all that is opposing to it as non-real. The power of the Father then should be flowing. So much so that you can now sit back in the knowledge that only one mind being present, there is no second mind to know of anything except the spiritual universe. You rest in the Father. All that the Father hath is mine. Nothing is excluded. And now your meditation takes a very deep turn. As I accept God identity, there is no personal me. There is no personal him. There is no personal her. There is no personal it. There is only God identity. There is no one else but God identity. That means your universe has one identity. There are no pieces. There are no divisions. There is only one identity, and it is God. And now you're establishing a God-to-God relationship with everyone you will meet. The identity I claim for myself is the identity of you, him, her, and it. And therefore, there is no person to person, there is only God to God. There is only one mind, one substance, one law, one infinite perfection. And instead now of looking out from a human sense of things at a world of many parts, you're accepting the one universe as the one being. You're not living in a personal sense of me. You're living as the one universe, as the one being, as the one spirit. Spirit is all that is here. Spirit is all that is there. Then matter cannot be here and matter cannot be there. All is spirit. Material person cannot be there, for all is spirit. Then what is material person? Material person is a mental image. And that mental image had a broken back. That mental image was sick. Are you going to improve that which is not there, or will you just change the mental image? Now we have one. And only in this one will the power of spirit become manifest. The power can never function except within its own spiritual self. And when you have permitted yourself to yield to the infinite will, to accept the identity of the infinite as your own, then the power, which is ever present, ever maintaining its perfect self, becomes manifest as the power of your being, as the law unto you, as the mind which gives you the kingdom, as the mind which withholds no thing, as the mind which appears manifest as everything that is right at the moment that it is necessary. All needed forms must appear in the outer as this power of the One is accepted. And now the full leaven is transforming. As transformation continues, body, mind, and soul all acknowledge the One. And so we move, we live and move and have our being. Another three steps in the leaven, in and as the One. When this is established, your day is a different day. It is a day in the kingdom of heaven on earth. And all that flows in and through you and as you is expressing the divine will without any opposition and without the need for you to take thought. For before you ask, I in you shall answer. It is my pleasure in you to give you the kingdom. In my presence is fullness of joy. All those things that you had done in the outer world under your own will, all the hopes and plans and dreams and expectations were your own preconceived notion of what you thought God's will ought to be. But we do not bend God's will, nor do we try to interpret what God's will is. We do not say, well, certainly God wants me to be healthy. No, it is a complete, total surrender to the will, in which I have no will of my own whatsoever. For the moment I have a will of my own, I am taking myself out of the one infinite identity. And I am separating myself from the ever-present power of grace. Now there is nothing you can do to earn this power. Nothing you can do to stop it. No sin on earth can move it away. It is always present. And as we dwell, as we abide, as we rest in identity, we're in the vine. We can accept that present power, though it be unseen. We can live by that invisible power. There are there's about 1 billion people who have accepted Christianity on this earth. And about 3/4 of the population of the whole world has accepted a supreme being of some sort. In spite of that, the world does not enjoy the power of God. There is still, in spite of 1 billion Christians, in spite of 3 billion who in some way worship God, we have a progressive corrosion throughout civilization. On every fiber, on every level. And it is all because the belief in God is not the acceptance of the substance of God as identity. Religion believes in every Bible miracle, but it cannot go forth and do likewise. It believes in Jesus Christ, but forgets that he said, "If you believe on me, the works I do ye shall do." And religion is not doing the works. The belief is surface. The belief is an intellectual belief. It is not an acceptance of, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." It is not the acceptance of the Spirit of God as the Spirit of my being. And without that acceptance, 1 billion Christians lose the power of Christ, and 3/4 of the world loses the power of the God they worship. Because the universal Christ is the substance of being. And you cannot accept unless you accept it as your substance. The light, the Christ, the substance of God is where the power is. I am the vine. I stand at the door and knock. When you open your consciousness to the acceptance of the present power of God as the only power that is functioning, as the only mind that is here, as the only law, as the only activity, you will find it possible to rest in trust, in freedom, in the liberty, in the fullness of joy, in the peace. For I and my Father are one in spite of what the naked eye may see, in spite of what the touch may feel. And this becomes the fact of life. Every good thing must flow and will if you will remain in a state of acceptance, not emerging once more into a will of your own. We're told to rest in this form of contemplative meditation until a communion begins, until instead of a you out there declaring, something inside is doing the declaring. Until that something inside lifts you into a place where the eye of your being, which is declaring, and you are one and the same, and there is no additional sense of self. There is that point of meeting, that point of contact, and this is the divine contact which changes our lives. That point where the outer me ceases to really exist, where the infinite meets the inner, and the one stands revealed as the very source of being, the fountainhead. With no need for any external power or thing. All is flowing abundantly. Even if there were lulls, you know they would blossom forth. Unanticipated sources appear. Everything is touched with the magic of the inner self, released, lived in. We're not in a mind here. We're not in a mind that has a plan. Somehow that's far away. We're not in a selfhood that is apart from another self. All disappears, even the personal sense of identity. There is no you there to identify another you somewhere else. There is only a one. And in your realized one, you're standing in the invisible at the source of all things. Joel calls it the manufacturing plant, the infinite storehouse. And even that isn't enough. It is your life without beginning or end. When you're in the one, you are in eternality. And there is no place where you are not. Whether it be space or time, you are there. Wherever God is, thou art, because God is never separated from God. The only presence that exists is the presence. Now this should be the way we move out into this world every day. And only in this method of release to the will you find that in some way you are synchronized into an invisible rhythm. Things might even happen in this state of being that to a normal person might seem undesirable. They won't to you, because only God can happen. Only the power can express. And rather than rushing in quickly to challenge something that happens, you patiently watch as the infinite unfolds, knowing that all is always well. All is always functioning under the one infinite mind. Nothing can ever be wrong. Wrong is an impossibility. Right is the law, and there is no opposite. And as the full leaven of consciousness is completed, our transition of consciousness takes place, and we are no longer in a three-dimensional world. For us, it is obsolescent. We do not live in it. We do not move in it. We do not have our being in it. It only appears that way to others. We live in reality. And we are not living our lives. We are in that identity which lives itself. We are in that identity which knows no beginning and no ending. We are in that mind which looks at a world of images without any reaction. We are in the Christ mind. There is no darkness. There are no tears. There are no material forms. There are no material laws. There are no material identities. All is the invisible expression of God. Neither the good nor the bad in the visible make an impression. You have found another universe behind the visible one. And you are content to let it unfold and to witness it at the Father's will. Now go back several thousand years and find your spirit there. For that spirit which is you this moment is the spirit of being 2,000 years ago. There is no separation and no change. Move out into this entire physical world, and wherever it appears to be, you are there. Throughout all time. Let all of this be your realization, and it will feed you. It will sustain you. It will move this image in accordance with invisible law. Your dominion is in the realization of oneness. For that one never knows a second one. That one never meets a second being. That one is always going within itself everywhere. That one is free. Now, in the Christ mind, there is no other one. There is no place where you have to multiply loaves and fishes. They're already there as the invisible substance. There is no place where you have to heal. There is nothing to heal. There is no place where there is a problem. There is no place to be improved, reformed, or corrected. You are in the Christ mind of reality. Above the opposites. Above the need to take out a first aid kit and make a repair job somewhere. Now this is the consciousness we want to move with in preparation for transition. We have left behind us the need or desire or the innocence that would permit us to fall into the trap of wanting to improve our world or our world relationships in the outer. We do not paste peaches on trees. We do not clip apples to the apple tree. Everything we do in the Christ mind is to grow from within. And let the added things take care of themselves. We are in the transforming light. There will come your moment of transfiguration. When, without taking thought, without effort, you will find yourself no longer a human consciousness. No longer living from this physical focus, this sense focus, but rather you will feel the absence of physical form even while you appear in one. You will feel the transfiguration of light in which you are dissolved into all that is around you. You will know yourself to be pure consciousness. You will know that everywhere you are, that you cannot be touched by a human hand. You cannot be seen by a human eye. You cannot be measured by human standards. For you have found identity and you live as that identity. In our next expression of life beyond this present incarnation, when we have passed the point of return, we will be living in the will of the Father completely, and there is no choice of a second will. Here the choice remains. But here, the dissolution of that second will is the preparation for living in that kingdom where only the will of the Father is possible. And there is no entrance into that kingdom until we have mastered the art of living consciously in the one will, sacrificing all human will in ways that are very strange, but in ways that, by eliminating our normal human sense of things, our normal sense of various disturbances, our normal resentments and animosities, our normal pride and vanity, these gradually disappear to the point where We are willing to sacrifice them in order to reach the higher ground where we can say, Father, normally I might react this way, but I would rather forego the pleasure of telling this one off or that one off and take on the garment of humility, that wonderful quality which really means the absence of me. That selflessness which is all self. And truly, no one who has made the effort to banish self within self and to look out upon others who are not separate selves, no one who has not done this can know the power that flows. Suppose you accept this universe then as one being. Step out of the coat of skin, accepting yourself as that one being. And rest in the confidence that the one being, being all, there's nothing to ask for, nothing to need, nothing to want, only to let infinity unfold itself. It takes a few measures of leaven, a few days and weeks of being willing to live this selflessly in order to invite I through your sincerity and dedication to lift you still higher where all things become possible in the name of I. You are erasing the parenthesis of mortality. You are erasing the memories that have accrued through the years. You are erasing the emotional scars, the crystallized intellectual beliefs, all of the accrued ideas that had nothing to do with the one being, coming into the purity of consciousness in which your light shines. We should be able soon to walk in the invisible, consciously knowing where we are, what we're doing, and how to do it. We should be able to walk through the material world, consciously invisible, consciously letting the Father live as our being so that we are expressing the Father's business on earth. We should be able to walk consciously invisible through every material circumstance, never separated from Source always recognizing ourselves to be that source. Recognizing that God is never separated from God. That identity can never be less than the infinite one. That all that I see, I am. When you were told that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, you were also told that I and the Father are one. And therefore, the earth being the Lord's, the earth is mine. And really, we're being told that the earth is invisible spirit. That invisible spirit, which is the earth, seen through the eyes of man, becomes the material earth. But it is the spiritual earth that is the Lord's. It is the only earth. It is the Father. And because I and the Father are one, I am the spiritual earth. The spiritual earth I am. That is all that is here. The spiritual sky, I am. The spiritual stars, I am. All that is here is spirit, and it is I am. Where sky is your identity. Where ocean is your identity. Where anything is, only your identity is. All is your being. And there is nothing else there. And when you walk as your being with nothing else there, then you're in the kingdom of miracles. For then omnipresence and omniscience and omnipotence are the law of being in action. They're not something you think about, not something you even have to know about. They are. Grace is. Power is. Love is. Harmony is. And all these things, grace, love, peace, harmony, I am. There is only one activity. And all of the things which in the outer we see in a small measure are all limited manifestations of the one perfect infinite activity which is your being. That is why we are told to stand fast, to take no thought for our lives, because the only life there is our one divine life. And thought for any other life is separation from your own identity. Now you'll find the day when all of this for you is simply the way you are without any effort. It all falls into place. You wake up to it. And you know you are a different being than the one who went to sleep. It isn't you going to God anymore. It isn't you trying to find the truth. It isn't you reaching out to discover things. It's just you being you without corporeality, without boundaries, without a parenthesis around you. Just being you. Knowing all there is you. Everywhere, no matter what might appear. And then the outer forms that you see become merely evidence to you of your unseen self. And as the evidence changes to show forth more harmony, you can quietly know that is because I have been steadfast to the One. As you can sit in the quiet, complete, total trust of your One Being as the perfect present power everywhere, for you it will become manifest. It will actually show forth as the life of a friend, as the improved health of another friend. It will show forth as that which you know it to be, perfect, if you can dwell in the realization of it as a permanent dispensation. It will become the bloodstream of a child. It will become the breathing of a loved one. It will take every required form as you dwell in the One Being, knowing that the child isn't there, the One Being is. The loved one isn't there, the One Being is. Always translating everything into the invisible One Perfect Being. Now, you can't do this 24 hours a day with your eyes open. But neither do you go to the gasoline station and ask for gas 24 hours a day. You get your fill of it, and then you're on your way. This method of regeneration can be the first fruits, and it will take care of the rest. Every 3 minutes of this takes care of the other 57. And days repeated and repeated and repeated in the One Being are equivalent to thousands of years of human evolution. Then you will discover that whereas Christian babies can be deformed or retarded or mongoloid or blue, Christian boys can go out on the battlefield and pour away their blood. Christian adults can go through divorces and abortions. Hindus can have heart attacks. Buddhists can have brain tumors. Muslims can have migraine or multiple sclerosis. It makes no difference what the religion. Until there is the conscious awareness of One Being, you are not immune to the famines, the pestilences, the poverty, the diseases and disasters of the world. But the instant One Being is your consciousness, for you, all disaster is over. There can be no lack or limitation. There can be no karmic law. Your pleasures are different, it's true. They are the pleasures of the Spirit. But there, you are in an ever-widening, ever-expanding, ever-new experience. The miracle of tomorrow for you is different than the routine, repetitious days of the world. And the knowledge that there is no end in this infinite, limitless expansion is not something that you have to study or rehearse. It simply becomes your consciousness. You know your eternal self. And you know you're ready. Ready to move into the sixth world. To the expression of Christ living as the perfect Son of God in the world of no opposites, learning completely how to move into the seventh heaven. Now, the reality of you lives in all of the seven heavens right now. All levels you are living in. And all levels come to function right where you stand in the one being. All progression is the progression of the consciousness learning of its own identity. Your infinite self is always infinite. Now, the reason for this today is that we have had so much truth to remember and truth to study. But we have to come to the place where I, the truth of my being, is expressing itself. It doesn't have to study. It doesn't have to remember. It doesn't go outside of itself to find something. It pushes itself forth as expression. We are coming to the place of being the perfect truth itself, letting it be itself, not trying to pin words upon it or limitations upon it. We're trying to really live the infinite way. All of the questions that come up in a human mind disappear in the acceptance of one being. God has no questions to ask of God. Spirit has no unfinished business. Spirit has no place where it is needful. And in the expression of need, limitation, question, plan, hope, we are denying to ourselves to be the one being. Every lack, limitation, need, and problem is a denial of identity. And in the denial of identity, even if your questions are answered, they're of no value. In identity, just that self itself is the answer to all questions. And so we might be coming close to the point where each of us is living at the core of his being and the circumference and all between. When we can meet in the knowledge that we are the one self. Perfect as our Father, fed by the Father, living not in the mask of humanhood, and requiring nothing of anyone. As we do this, we have set up that consciousness which need not fear what tomorrow may bring. And that consciousness which need not anticipate by an hour or a day or a year, the future. Because that consciousness is the future. It is everything that the future will be. And it being perfect, the future, being the outer, will completely show forth that consciousness we have attained in the inner. We have built our future in this consciousness. The joy of this way of life is to know that whatever comes to take me out of this consciousness is the Antichrist, and as I am alert, I can behold the pure, perfect spiritual activity of the Father as I stand against the Antichrist. This is the joy. Watching the Antichrist dissolve, watching the appearances reveal the absence of power that they seem to have had. Watching the miracles of each day unfold in ways that could never be anticipated by a human mind. This is the joy. Being able to say, thank you, Father, for that incredible action, that incredible experience. Thank you for opening new doors, new ways, new experiences, all on a level unseen by the human mind. Thank you for the peace. Thank you for the confidence. And most of all, thank you for being you.